So we see suffering as the grace of Krishna, and it's specifically coming to me. That means Krishna has chosen me. There must be some purpose for it. Yes. Let's look at some scriptures. How they look at it. The most famous verse for talking about suffering is Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano Bhunjan Eva Atma Krutam Vikapa Rudva Gopurbhir Vidadam Namaste Jivetyo Muktipade Sadayabhak. Now, here, let's look at each line to try to understand what is being said. Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano. This is your mercy. This is Brahmaji praying to Krishna. Thinking of the suffering, tenukampam susamikshamano, mano, and things like this, susamiksha, with the eyes of knowledge. Bhunjan eva, that person endures. What is it? Atmakrutam vipakam. It is my own actions that I am suffering. So then what is the... So now Srila Prabhupada explains over here that the devotee sees the suffering as being minimized by Krishna. But here what the verse itself is saying is that the devotee sees it as your mercy, that this that is your mercy, I am suffering my own karma. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjan eva atmakrutam. Atma is very clear. The devotee is not holding Krishna responsible for suffering. It's my own karma I am suffering. And the most important thing is Rudva Gvapurbhir Vidadam Namaste. Right? With the heart, with the body, and with the speech, one offers obeisances to the Lord. Jivetayo, one who lives like this, Muktipade Sadai Bhag. That person has become entitled to liberation, to attaining eternal life with Krishna. That means the most important thing over here is Rudva Gvapurbhir Vidam Namaste. That one stays connected with Krishna, wholeheartedly connected with Krishna. So it's taking shelter of Krishna that is most important. Now that means connecting with Krishna is what is vital. Now, with what consciousness one does it? One can say this is my own karma, but it has been minimized by Krishna. So what is Krishna's mercy? Krishna's mercy is that he has minimized the karma for me. I could also see that sometimes Prabhupada also says that for the pure devotees, they have no karma. It is simply for our instruction that the pure devotees go through some sufferings. So we could say that, and Prabhupada gives the example of sometimes the mother-in-law teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. The daughter has not made any mistake, but the mother-in-law tells her, don't do like this, do like this. So that means it is that here the suffering has got nothing to do with karma. It is simply Krishna's arrangement. It's Krishna's mercy. But Prabhupada talks about this primarily for, he said this is for exalted devotees, their suffering is for their glorification. For us sadhakas, it is for our purification. For them, it is for their glorification means, although they went through so much sufferings, but still, they stayed so faithful to the Lord. How glorious is their devotion. Now for us, when the suffering comes, it is, now what do we mean by purification? If it is for our purification, purification can mean just the exhaustion of our past karma. The past karmic reactions, they also cause some impurities. But ultimately, the most damaging impurity is our own misdirection of our heart from Krishna, isn't it? So if the suffering makes us take shelter of Krishna, the suffering makes me realize, nothing else is going to help me, only Krishna is going to help me, then that itself is purification. So again, if when I say impurity is what? The lust, anger, greed, kind of these things in my heart. And what do? They take my consciousness away from Krishna. But if my consciousness goes towards Krishna, then I am free from that suffering. I am free from that misdirection, which is the cause of suffering. So basically, when the suffering comes, it inspires us to take shelter of Krishna. That is the vital thing. And yes, seeing the suffering as Krishna's mercy, it is, whether we see the suffering as Krishna's mercy or we see Krishna's mercy even in the suffering, not the suffering itself. Like I don't know where did I speak yesterday. I was giving the gratitude seminar in Soho. It says even if we can't be grateful for all situations, we can be grateful in all situations. We can't be grateful for all situations. You know, if I lose my job, if I get a terrible health crisis, if somebody tells me, you know, be grateful for this, well, it will be almost impossible. How can I be grateful for this? So, but I can say, okay, this is a terrible thing, but there are so many other things right in my life. I'm grateful for them. And even among the many things that are right in my life, there are these things which are especially helping me to deal with this problem. And for that, I'm grateful. So, I would say that it's, if some devotees may say, even that in that problem itself, oh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this problem. That is also, like, we have Radhanath Maharaj quotes in the Journey Home book of St. Francis. You know, he says, that what is bliss? He says, if you are fasting and you go to somebody's house and you ask for something and that person reviles you, chastises you, condemns you, then taking that suffering for the sake of your Lord, that is bliss. So now that is one way of looking at it. So when we feel that this is how, by taking up this suffering for the sake of our Lord, I'm getting an opportunity to serve Him. I'm an opportunity to express my devotion for Him. So then that, if that is the consciousness, then that is wonderful. The first time I went abroad, I had gone to Australia before I came to the West. So at that time, somehow when I landed at the airport, I because the time zone had changed, the whole experience was the first time for me. So I just got out of the airport and somehow the plane had come almost 1.5 hours before. And then I was just waiting there. And I didn't have any Australian currency. And there at the phone booth, they said that you can't contact. And then they had a policy by which the wheelchair assistant dropped me up to a particular point. And they said, you know, we drop you here, your escort should come here. Now I had my luggage and I couldn't move from there. I just didn't know what to do. So I was just, it was the first time abroad, I was quite overwhelmed. But then suddenly it struck me that, you know, here I know there are devotees. They will find me. They may be a little late, they will come, they'll find me. But then at that time I thought, when Prabhupada came to America, he just had no one. There's no one waiting, especially when, say, he landed at Boston, but he said, I didn't know whether to turn left or right. Especially when David attacked him and the 26th Second Avenue, he just was homeless. He didn't know what to do. So at that time it just struck me that, you know, Prabhupada did so much. Now for me, just to wait for some time till somebody finds me, there's no big deal. So although it was bewildering, it was overwhelming, but just thinking that way, this is a privilege that I can do something in the service of Srila Prabhupada. So I would say that we have to see what is favorable for us. So if we can see it that way, that I'm taking up this suffering in the service of the Lord, and this is just a way in which I express my devotion to Krishna. And it's a privilege that I have the opportunity to express my devotion like this. So if that feeling that I have been chosen, then that, rather than making us proud or making us feel miserable, it makes us feel treasured. Not in an arrogant sense. But in a, you could say treasured. Then that is favorable. So I was talking with one very senior sannyasi. You know, he was being very fiercely criticized. So he was telling me that he has done nothing wrong, but is so much criticism. So he was saying that fame, he says, criticism is the price you have to pay for fame. In this world, nothing comes one side, happiness and distress. So fame is glorification, but then criticism will come with it. The world is a place of dualities. So he said that actually to glorify Krishna, to spread the fame of Krishna, sometimes we also have to accept fame. But when we accept fame, we will also get criticism. So when you see that this actually is a price I am paying for glorifying Krishna. So then rather than blaming, why are these people criticizing me? Mm-hmm. Yes, we can try to address them at that level, mm-hmm. try to address their misconceptions. But seeing beyond the specifics, if that vision can help us to become more more devotionally minded, more inspired to serve Krishna, then that is wonderful.
Is grace and mercy interchangeable?